1050 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The presidential debate, I'm Sherry Preston. During the first and maybe only debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump in Philadelphia last night, Trump claiming that the Middle East will be destroyed if Harris wins the election.
The whole place is going to get blown up. Arabs, Jewish people, Israel will be gone.
And the vice president saying of Russia,
if Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now. And understand what that would mean, because Putin's agenda is not just about Ukraine.
As for the analysis, Chris Christie, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, says in his opinion, Harris was prepared and Trump was not.
She laid traps and he chased every rabbit down every hole instead of talking about the things that he should have been talking about. This is the difference between someone who's well prepared and someone who's unprepared. Whoever did debate prep for Donald Trump should be fired.
This is ABC News. Strong winds pushing three growing wildfires in Southern California. Eric Sherwin with the San Bernardino County Fire Department in Wrightwood.
These winds are gusty. They moderate at times, allow our crews to get into those neighborhoods, set up point defense, do what we can, move out when the fire activity gets too great, and then we re-engage in between.
That county dealing with two big fires, the Lime Fire at over 32,000 acres, now 14% contained, and the Bridge Fire has crossed the county border, burning over 34,000 acres there and in Los Angeles County, and is 0% contained. Keurig is now on the hook for a fine that could buy over 2 million K-Cups, the coffee giant agreeing to pay $1.5 million for misleading claims about just how recyclable those little K-Cups actually are. And your Mega Millions ticket is not a winner unless you happen to buy it in Sugarland, Texas. One ticket sold there, hitting all numbers, taking the $800 million jackpot. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court rules the boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls more than 2 years ago will be tried as an adult. James Kelly reports.
The decision was originally made by a Chippewa County judge, and a three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals ruled to uphold that decision due to the seriousness of the offense. Their ruling states that the defense failed to show that a reversal waiver would not depreciate the seriousness of the offenses. The now 16-year-old suspect is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sexual assault.
I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering a request to open guardianship records for some voters. A conservative activist is trying to find ineligible voters and cast doubt on the 2020 election. Justices heard arguments in the case on Tuesday. The court's not expected to issue a ruling before the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Manager Pat Murphy said the offense had its struggles after getting two early runs in a game dominated by pitching.
Tough night to hit, but still it was a pitcher-dominated game. We made a couple mistakes on the bases.
that cost us runs, maybe.
Game two in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a six-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Todd, would you? I just made a quick bet.
I'm not going to take the bet because he's right.
Host Saturday Night Live going to open their show. Oh, Saturday.
You think they're going to be eating?
That's a good
the thing about the pets
eating dogs and cats.
Gosh,
you know it. You know they're going to be. You know they had to be taking notes all day long.
Somebody sent me a text, and can you believe it? And I said, "Well, because I told you last night I had that charcuterie board that
was
sent in. She was so awesome.
Chelsea was wonderful.
Right from Festin last. I had that, but then I said I'm switching my menu to hot dogs.
Yo, I got to tell you, that stuff was delicious. Remember I told you about my tooth? Not to whine and complain about my...
Never.
I couldn't even eat that stuff because of my tooth.
Yes. Really?
Yeah, and that stuff was so delicious, and the salami good. And everything. But those are good. There's something about those things because you have such a variety.
Well, that's what's cool about it. It's the variety. And then you can try this and you know, if
you're... And something you maybe never tried before.
Right. And those pickles... I could eat them at home because I didn't have to do a radio show.
Yeah,
those were hot. Those were good. I want to get some of those.
That was great. I could live on charcuterie boards.
Yep. Yeah. And I think they're, by and large, pretty healthy, don't you?
Yeah. They're apricots.
There was that dried apricot that was on there. And there were some grapes.
Yeah, there were grapes.
They were grapes.
Piece of oranges.
Yes. So, okay.
But great.
I think pistachios were on there.
Yeah,
there were.
Yeah, right? Pistachios
are on there. Those crackers.
But I don't know that cheese is unhealthy.
It's not.
Just, it was that the different types of
salami. You know, I read a lot, on different things, whatever. And they said one of the biggest possible, and we can get a heart surgeon on here if we want to talk about this. One of the biggest fallacies possibly in American health was that eggs give you cholesterol and they're going to kill you. Whereas eggs are so healthy for you with their protein that it like overrides so much else that it's actually really good cholesterol sometimes. And again, I shouldn't be spewing medical advice that I'm not 100% positive of. But what I've been reading from my, different men's health
research and all that. I've researched it. You should practice it though, John.
Well,
you're eating eggs.
I eat a lot of eggs. I eat a lot of eggs.
I don't know if that's true though. That's one guy. I don't know if that's true.
About the cholesterol?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I know that if you like smoothies, that when you put the egg in the smoothie, you put the shell in too.
Well, that's like what Rocky did, didn't he?
I think there's more nutrition in the shell than there is in the egg, right?
I don't know. I've heard that the white stuff in an orange skin is the healthiest part of an orange.
I think people, if you peel an orange, you throw away the healthiest part.
And I've heard banana skins can be poisonous. Is that true? If you do something with banana skins?
Don't know that. I wouldn't. They wouldn't taste.
What about, is it true that apple seeds have cyanide?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
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 But you've got to eat
looked
a
up
couple
banana
bushels.
Peels. Banana peels are not only safe to eat, they have a number of health benefits.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm still thinking of rutabaga. or rhubarb or something. Remember that one?
Rhubarb. I don't like it with or without the
That was kind of funny when I said, when we were kids, so they said you had to peel off the outside part because it was poisonous, you'll die. And you're 8 years old, and it's like, oh, I hope my peel is good enough or I'm going to die.
Right. You got it down to almost nothing. You right. peeled so much
but
back.
Your grandma would have still grown those. Peeling.
Right.
Yeah. Not a huge rhubarb guy, you?
Yeah, I like, I all love right. rhubarb pie. Rhubarb right. tort. Yeah, that's, and that's,
it's
got to
be mixed
about
with apple.
Well,
Sarah says it's arsenic in apples.
What did
arsenic?
I say?
Cyanide.
I thought it was cyanide. Too.
Cyanide, though,
I
that's
too.
Pretty bad
That's what, like,
stuff.
The spies in World War II yeah. used to keep their mouth in case they got captured.
Arsenic. Arsenic.
Is it ice? I don't know. Because there was a did you watch a bizarre but compelling, you can't look away series on Netflix a couple of years ago, Ozark?
I heard about it.
Oh!
I didn't see it.
Really good. Jason Bateman and some lady. And but this lady, this just crazy lady down south in the Ozarks. Okay.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She used to, you know, grow her own apples, make her own jam, go sell them other things. And she collected all the seeds for like a long, long time and ground them up and put them in her husband's coffin.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And that's how she knocked them off.
Well, according to Google, apple seeds contain a magdalene, a chemical compound that releases cyanide when chewed or crushed. You have to have a lot of it.
I would say a couple. Yeah, you have to have a lot of it. That's, wow.
Okay, but see, if she ran sure. an apple
yeah.
orchard
yeah.
and she had that peeler like your mom had.
My mom didn't have, I told you we didn't have.
Or whatever no, it was.
The core.
Yeah. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that. But that's why she had it, so we wouldn't eat the seeds.
Oh.
Because the core's in the seeds are in the
okay.
core.
Okay. Interesting. All right. We always say if it's the biggest story, we've got
we
two
to
huge things
it.
To say. Of course, one, well, first one I want to talk about, though, is 9/11.
Yep.
Where were you? What were you doing? I mean, everybody, I was on the air with Murphy and IXX, and people still mention it to me that they remember
yeah.
making the announcement because they were driving. And they were expecting to hear me and Murphy tell stupid, funny stories or whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of I said, we're under attack.
Yeah.
Our nation's under attack. And people have still remembered that. How about you?
Yeah, that was 23 years ago.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah, I was at a chamber meeting.
Okay,
and
in Green
my
Bay.
My phone kept ringing. It was Donna. She goes, Jim, something bad's happening. Then I went to work, and I had the TV on, and my brother came in. He goes, something bad's happening. So I went home. And then actually it was we went to St. Willibrod. There were a whole bunch of people went to St. Willie's, the
okay.
church. So, yeah, that was, I remember that like yesterday. That was scary. I mean, you didn't really know anything.
And you didn't know if that was just the beginning.
Right.
That was the scary part.
And it was so quiet because they grounded all the planes.
Do you know that I know a lady, cool. I'll tell you a sad story. A lady, her husband is the first guy I ever interviewed for any of my books. My very first one. Okay. And she was Irish. And her husband had been stationed in Ireland and just loved the Irish girls. And he said, boy, what a great thing in my life. Look at this. I married this redhead, beautiful Irish girl. And I give him credit. I remember the first time they came to my my show at Duck Creek in VFW. And I thought it was his daughter. I honestly did. I thought it was his daughter. So beautiful. Okay. Their big dream, you know, he was getting older and I actually did his eulogy and everything. And the big dream was they were going to go to Ireland together.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting on the tarmac in New York when it hit, when the planes hit the tower and everything was shut down and they sat there for hours and hours and they never went.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Their lifetime dream to go to Ireland and it stopped on the tarmac.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
There's just so many things that, and still can't believe that's 23 years ago. How young our kids were, you know, but they were, but yeah, it was, I remember a friend of mine called it. He was in my wedding, and he, Chicago guy, and he was actually out in the East Coast travel. And he called. He goes, "You think this is the end?"
I was worried about
were
it.
You? I just
like, I really
said,
was.
This is not. I didn't think that. I got to be honest with you. I thought this is bad. But yeah, I didn't think it was Armageddon. I didn't. Think
I
it was
thought
over.
Okay. The time I thought that it might be. Oh boy, when they hit the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And you know that still isn't as. I know. There, I still don't have a lot of information on the Pentagon. I mean, not that I should have it, but that one seems quiet, doesn't it? I mean, with the other one, it was like, you know, the Let's Roll where they tried to overtake the thing and whatever. But
you think
you don't hear much. I'm not into conspiracy things at all, hardly at all. But
but you would think it maybe got shot down. Is that what you're saying?
No, the guys.
No, just that they're attacking our military.
Yeah.
And, oh.
But remember, that was the folks on the plane overtook that one. Was it or was that
Pennsylvania?
That's right. You're right.
That's Pennsylvania.
That was the Let's Roll.
Yes. Got a text here. I was working at Humana downtown at the Regency building. I heard John and Murphy in the morning talk about planes that hit the World Trade Center. It was a horrible day. I can remember it, Luann. It wasn't the World Trade Center, but still. You know, I was just, have you watched the movie Zero Dark Thirty?
No.
Was it the World? No, it wasn't the World Trade Center. That was the first one. Was it the World Trade Center?
Yeah.
The Twin Towers?
Yeah. Twin Towers.
Yeah. Okay, because I just rewatched the movie Zero Dark Thirty. And this whole thing really started with Bin Laden, with the World Trade Center bombings in the garage.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's when they first put, and it in this movie, and it's supposed to be factually based, how many times we let him just kind of slip through.
That ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, oh, no, there was.
There was so many times.
I don't think it was a big mystery, because wasn't one of Bush's guys in a restaurant, and he said it right away. That's Al Qaeda.
Exactly. Remember? Yes.
It wasn't like they did a lot of research.
And they kept trying to get that across to the director of the CIA or whomever it was, whatever.
Yeah.
And they, and again, I don't know how much the movie is factual based.
That's
I think
pretty,
it is, though.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know another thing, though, that's still a mystery? Who killed Osama bin Laden? Because we had that guy here in Green Bay who claimed that he did.
I shook his hand.
Me, too. I got pictures of him on my phone.
So do I. The reason people don't think he did is because, you know, they got that code of conduct, that code of silence.
Right.
And he shouldn't have bragged about it.
Absolutely. They're not supposed to talk any details of their missions.
But you heard his talk.
Yeah.
That was unbelievably detailed.
Like, I know.
You cannot research that with every step.
I know.
Going to the right, going to the left. I just thought he was.
But some think there's this other theory that a couple of other, because what they did, even in the movie, if they walked past a body, they shot it again a couple of times. And they think somebody else hit bin Laden, didn't know it was him because it was just chaos. And then he came and put a couple more in him and realized, holy crap, that's bin Laden.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Hmm. Well, who?
Because they still weren't sure it was bin Laden until they got back to the base in Afghanistan when they had that woman who was the authority on it look at him.
They were pretty sure. They're pretty sure.
Well, he was 6'5".
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was born 1 week before me. Yeah. So you had Prince or whatever. I got, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
But hey, did you go out to 9/11? I went out there shortly after this. And it was still just wreckage and dust and everything.
Yeah. No, I was there when they had the memorial built and everything.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
In the interim, when they had the lights.
Yeah.
That was cool, too.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I went out there a few times to look at
that. You know, there's
that.
Something that, like, the World War, or excuse me, the Vietnam Monument did that was so good. The names. The names makes an impact, and that's what they got at the World Trade Center, is the names.
Yeah.
You know, that personalized it versus, I mean, God bless memorials, but when you see the names.
But there's still, like, you know, and the names are the names, but there's still, like, 40% of them, they haven't really recovered.
Oh, and they're just
right, I know, it's just, I know.
Turned to dust
right
away.
Right,
that's so why that's even, I remember thinking.
Too bad for those families, but.
I mean, just from a little bit of my experience of family members in mines and, you know, guys getting caved in and things like that. If you don't get to people like really, really, really fast, it's pretty tough. I mean, some you hear these ones, you know, 10 days and they find, okay. But in general, it's not. You know what I mean? They might have like a minute, 30 seconds even. Wow. And when they're like 2 days later with the dogs trying, it's like, okay, there's nothing there.
Too bad for the families, right?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Horrible. Horrific. But-
Yeah, that
horrible.
Was. Yeah, somebody should text in, tell me where they were, because I do think that it was. Boy, if you're over 10.
Yeah, where were you? Tell us what you remember about that.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, well.
I'll tell you what, though. I give those guys credit that did try to fight back and go after him. I'd go down that way, man. I wouldn't just sit and go for the ride.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right. It is 9/11. We had the big debate last night. We got a full lineup, including at 7 o'clock, my buddy Izzy. This was a national story. Yeah. Ran an Airbnb in Sheboygan Falls and was destroyed by a couple of guys from like Chicago.
Bear fans.
Ben Indiana, Malcor, Pat Haney bringing us some food that we will not turn down.
He's not bringing us food. He's going to talk about food safety.
Po' boy. He had me at Po' Boys. And Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin, back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on 9/11, 23rd anniversary of the attack on, well, not just the Twin Towers, but like we mentioned, another plane. And who knows how many, nobody knows if guys have been sitting in terminals waiting to get on other planes.
Oh, man.
With, you know, ill intent in mind.
No.
I mean, when they shut them all down.
Oh, you mean to take down more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just, well, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I still, to this day, think there was something weird about that guy they found at Lambeau Field with like $50,000 cash or something in his pocket in the locker room. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah. And this is before 9/11.
Player?
No, an older guy. I think Middle Eastern, and some people thought he was casing the place. I had a couple of cops that thought he was.
Oh, that security's. You should see what they have there. That's
now.
Yeah,
but this was before 9/11.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I don't.
There's still something weird about that.
I was there after. Yeah, there.
I'm just saying. There.
Yeah, I mean it's. Yeah.
Got this one from Brian. I was interning for the county executive and saw the second plane on the news. I remember the corporation counsel immediately leaving, realizing he was going to be called up. He was a reservist in the guard and expecting a phone call. Brian, I know at least three guys. Oh, more than three.
That was Ken.
I probably got 15, 20 guys and women who signed up because of 9/11. They were sitting in history class in high school. Some of them didn't make it, I'll be honest with you.
On my other show, I was interviewing some political candidates, asking them, you know, and we talked about the decline in the military, right? Isn't everything down except the Air Force?
One guy recruiting wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not
I'm not sure which one. Yeah, one is Air Force or Navy, one of the two.
One of them's hitting their goals, the other three are going down. And we talked about some other stuff.
One of the reasons, though, I will say this, one of the reasons is, I was talking to somebody about this, the Air Force has gotten so technical with drones and all this, that these kids that are really into stuff like that and they grow up with it, that's like a perfect segue for them versus going to, you know, Paris Island and slogging through the swamps.
Well, when you and I were in high school, the qualifications weren't as high as they are now. I mean, it's tough to get in.
I don't know anybody in my era they wouldn't take. You know what I mean? Unless they had horrible eyesight or something. They wanted bodies so bad.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I remember, I just want to say one more thing. I still got some pamphlets. I save everything. I still got some pamphlets where from high school, and the Army was recruiting, okay?
Oh,
I don't know why I only have Army ones there, but the Army was recruiting. And it talked about their goal is to have an all-volunteer Army. And I thought to myself, that will never happen. There will never be enough, because this was right after Vietnam. Right after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the last thing most people wanted to do was go into the military right after Vietnam. So whatever they did recruiting-wise, they were, you know.
There's some pretty good incentives.
But you want to talk about a great campaign, though, too? Remember they did the Army, we do more by 9 o'clock than you'll do all day.
Yep.
They put together some pretty good ads.
That's what I'm saying. Their recruiting was pretty good. And, and it's incentives, you know, schooling.
Yeah, no question.
You go through there. Yeah. But anyway, I was asking this candidate running for, I don't even know who it was. I just think there's been a decline in patriotism. There's been a decline in the military. And I'm like, what's it going to take? You know, his leadership. And he said another 9/11. I'm like, I'm not willing to pay
that
price.
No.
So,
but think about this. And this is the thing that makes me the most sad is how united we were as a nation after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who your neighbor was. You stood by them and everybody came together to try and help the people out.
You're right.
There.
And that picture of Tom Daschle hugging the president.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was like, wow, this can, there are some good things coming out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, it's so funny, too, is like Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing and versus what.
I remember Letterman coming back for the very first time because nobody was doing TV shows.
I remember
that.
SNL came when they came back. Yeah.
Letterman came on. He that first night he had Regis Philbin on. And Dan Rather. And Dan Rather broke down in tears over the stress of, you know, covering that for all that time. Yeah. It's a great show.
Yes. Wow. No, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to replay now.
Absolutely.
That really
well, I
would.
Think we yeah. I think there's a few things we should replay.
You know what's funny, though?
Because there's some good stuff did. Like Todd's saying, you know, I remember talking about that, and that was a terrible day, but the outcome, you know, we lost 2,900 people, which is awful, but.
Well, then how many in the war?
Well, yeah, then you know? We were in war for two wars for, what?
20 years?
17 and 20 years, or 15 and 20 years, and yeah, it just, yeah.
But you know what's funny is, awful. Or not funny, but just kind of, when you think about this, you could be a politician for years and years and years, and you can work on policy, you can work on getting a grant, you can work on this thing, but one or two sentences can completely identify you at times. Like a tattoo, like, okay, John F. Kennedy said, you know, ask not what you can do, ask your country, whatever. And I still remember Bush when he was on that loudspeaker.
And someone
said, we can't hear you. Yeah. He goes, well, I can hear you. In a short time, the world's going to hear us.
Yeah.
And that was like, wow. You want to talk about that one rallying little thing from that phrase.
Yeah.
And it's funny how those things do play a big part in somebody's identity, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And identity, but also, you know, it's got a ripple effect.
Yeah.
I mean, people
well,
like, Vince Lombardi, damn right.
What do you think of Vince Lombardi?
Yeah.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What would be mine?
I BS for a living.
I swear I'm going to lose weight this week. you're not even going to recognize me in 3 weeks.
I make a BS for a living. Oh, yeah, whatever. I don't know. There's a couple things we'll put in your eulogy.
Yeah, okay.
So, but anyway.
Let us know, people, where you were.
That was an awful day. And just, but like I said, I think things got better, but then they're kind of back to where they were.
Yeah.
I think they're worse than they were, weren't they? Aren't they?
I do.
Well,
as a country, we're just so divided.
I do.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, like I was not a big Bush Jr. fan, but he did a great job during that, and he earned a lot of respect from me.
Yeah, he took control those few days, during whatever. But it, you know, another thing, though, too, when you think back.
What were you going to say, Jim?
I was going to say he, you know, I mean, what did he have on that boat? You know, not victory, but.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't him. Mission accomplished.
And it was like, wait, what?
But I'm talking directly after
9/11.
Well,
he did a good job then.
Yeah.
Although he did get a little criticized because he flew up really high and then he went to that Air Force base in Nebraska and people were like, where the hell is he?
Oh, the day of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but they didn't know if Washington was under attack.
I get that.
Yeah.
We have to protect the president. But I just, that was the only thing. But once he, you know, it's like, where's the president type thing? Like Trump said last night. We'll get to that.
So what did you think?
Wake him up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You're our political expert. What did you think of the debate? I'll be honest with you. I went to bed because it was just shouting back and forth. And he should have said, okay, I put up with half an hour of that or whatever. I'm just done.
I was learning nothing. And I was
surprised the moderators didn't do a better job of controlling it.
They did a very good job. And I just think the first question wasn't answered, and you could have set the tone and said, "Look, no,
we'll be here all night
until you answer that question. Then we'll go to the next one." But they didn't hold them accountable to the question. And I've been to debates where they're like, "Look, they keep going back. That gives them a little bit more airtime, so you got to be careful with that." But it's like, look, unless you answer the question, or I'm going to turn off your mic because we need to answer this question. They didn't do that, and I thought
that was the idea of having the muted mics.
I did too.
Donna said, "Were you going upstairs?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just."
I'm learning nothing. It's exactly how I felt.
I told Jim I didn't learn anything about them. I already knew them before the debate, and they just solidified that for me. So I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let us know, people. Give us your opinion on that.
But
so one day we're talking politics.
A couple one-liners. Eating the cats.
Oh, yeah. there was some comedic relief in it, let's be honest.
I was like, oh, my God.
Absolutely. Which gives morning radio show guys something to talk about.
Right. They're all talking about it.
We got to start a quick break. As I mentioned, come at 7:06. Izzy Dooch, wait till you hear the story about his Airbnb pretty much got destroyed by a couple of customers.
Right.
Back after this.
Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
All eyes may be on the election, but farmers are wondering if they're going to get a farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. Where does the process even stand as of today? We'll find out next.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Perry Ostis is the Vice President of Legislative Affairs for Compure Financial, and he stresses getting a farm bill done by the end of this calendar year isn't just important to farmers, it's important to families that depend on the U.S. Department of Agriculture for food benefits.
If this gets punted into 2025, that opens up a whole nother set of dynamics. One way or another, we will have a new president as a country, and they will be nominating people to serve in the cabinet, which will require confirmation hearings. We know at least on the Senate side, there will be a new Agriculture Committee chair. Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, the current chair, is not running for re-election. Mm-hmm. So we know we'll have some new players and leadership on the Agriculture Committee, and certainly we'll have new members on the committees themselves. So there's a whole host of reasons why this needs to get done and why it should get done in that lame duck session after the election.
Perry Ostis, Vice President of Legislative Affairs with Compure Financial. He reminds all of us that the Farm Bill really isn't just about farmers. 80% of what's contained within the Farm Bill relates to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's execution of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other food-related support mechanisms within USDA.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
And Andrea Swenson has been named the new director of the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety. That program is part of the National Farm Medicine Center and also part of the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute in Marshfield. Swenson takes over for Barb Lee, who had been the only director in that center's 27-year history. More on this announcement available at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Hay and Meatpacking knows that 9/11 will never be forgotten. As Americans, we all came together as one. Firefighters, police, military, National Guard, and citizens of our great country all united. Let's all salute our honorable and free country as we remember those brave first responders and citizens who lost their lives to a tragic event on a date our country will never forget. This from Hay and Meatpacking in Kaukauna, serving the area since 1959. Visit hayandmeats.com. God bless America.
Jeff Levering here. How are baseball and Pella windows and doors of Wisconsin alike? Pella manufactures all their own products. Baseball teams develop their own players in the minors. Pella tests every product thousands of times to ensure it stands the test of time. A baseball player's ultimate test is to get called up to the big leagues, hoping to play well enough to stay. Right now, Pella get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions apply. It ends September 30th. Visit PellaWI.com today.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Today, of course, 23rd anniversary of one of the darkest days in United States history, at least in modern times. The attack on democracy, as they used to say. I mean, that's really what it was. And even after watching that movie again the other night, we have freedom, the whole thing. I mean, they wanted to just take us down in every way, shape possible.
I remember that article in Newsweek said, how can someone hate us that much?
I know, right? Yeah. I know. I was in high school when a classmate walked into class and said we had to turn on the TV because a plane hit the World Trade Center. We were all glued to the TV, and then we watched the second plane hit. That night, I worked at Burger King in Suamico. I had one customer all night. My coworkers and I watched all of the cars lined up to get fuel at the attached Citgo. The cars were backed up on the road and onto the highway. The fears were setting in, and people were mass purchasing fuel. Sarah, I remember that about the gas.
Yeah.
You remember that, Todd?
People did.
Absolutely.
Get a little panicky, right? I mean, and rightfully
the media was kind of saying, you got to watch out for that kind of stuff too, right? Didn't they?
I remember I had a guy call our show like the next day, said there was a lady at some gas station in like Suamico-ish, wherever, she's telling everybody it's going to be $5 tomorrow. It's going to be at least $5 tomorrow. Yeah. Wow. So that kind of helped fuel it, because what was it at the time? I don't know, $1.50, $2? I don't even know, at that point. 9/11 is always a very somber day for me, as it is for most Americans. I would like to thank our armed service members who still protect our country and our freedoms. One of the reasons I'll never forget that day is I was living in Milwaukee and I was headed downtown, and the entire downtown was shut down, which is a very rare incident. Right. My mom at the time, who also lived in Milwaukee and worked for the Bank of New York, flew once or twice a week to New York for the day and would fly back in the evening. It was very common for her just to take a day trip a couple times a week to meet with some brokers and work in New York office for the day. That morning, I was not sure where my mom was. I called her local office in Milwaukee and could not reach her. Panic struck my heart as the hotel she stayed in and their offices were across the street from the Twin Towers. Thankfully, my mom was not on one of the trips to New York that day. She was safe in Milwaukee. I also had another friend who was stuck in the midst of it and walked from downtown New York back to Hoboken, New Jersey, as there was no way to get back to us home. Wow. I'm grateful for those brave souls, the police, the fire department, the military, the medical professionals, and anybody else that assisted during this time. We'll always remember and honor those who lost their lives on this day. Kathy. Wow. Good stuff, Kathy.
Well put.
Do you remember seeing all those people walking across the bridges and stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of them covered with dust and the whole thing. Yep. And yeah. No, no. Absolutely. Got a text here. You have to admit, Trump made some great faces during the debate. I thought they both did. I thought they both knew they were on camera, sort of, and were trying to subtly get something across.
Yeah, I think they knew there was going to be a split screen. I mean, I liked that there was no audience.
I agree.
I do, too.
I totally agree.
When they do that audience, because you got to admit, there would have been applause for
both
of them.
And they play up to the audience. Totally.
It becomes almost like a game show. It does. Absolutely.
It becomes like a Jerry Springer show.
Yep.
Where you're pulling for one side or the other, and then it's just chaos.
But the content was so shallow. It just wasn't a great debate, but I was glad the audience
wasn't moderators could have done a lot better job controlling it.
Yeah, I think I agree. And those guys are, those are the pros of pros.
You like David Muir.
I do.
I thought they both seemed a little bit shocked at the comeback they were getting from them.
I don't know that he's done a ton of debates. Right. I don't know. He spoke at our kids' graduation, remember? And he, at Madison. Yeah, he's very, very popular. I think people really, he's probably number one news anchor, right?
He is. But okay. I thought somebody more veteran should have been in that position. Whether it was Stephanopoulos for ABC or whoever, right? I mean, they've got to have some. I even wouldn't mind Diane Sawyer.
Bring somebody old school up.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Charles Gibbons from the day, back in the day. Yeah,
Charles Gibbons. I hate to say it. A lot of those guys have died. Like a Peter Jennings would have been phenomenal.
I saw several posts last night of where's Peter Jennings?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine him keeping them people alive? Oh,
he would have been phenomenal.
That guy, now he ran the 9/11 thing, right?
Yeah, well, all the way through. There's a tragic story. Like, that's why he kind of passed away, because he started smoking again during 9/11. Then he got lung cancer.
He came back and said, remember he was on the air? Yep. He goes, they found a little spot on my lung.
And no!
He, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, I'll be back when I sound better.
That's
and
he
never came back.
Never came back.
But he said that he smoked for years, had quit for a long time, but 9/11 he got weak and was smoking again.
Wow. You know, I guess I was watching this one thing. This hockey NHL hockey player, can't think of his name now. I'd never heard of him, but still, you know, NHL veteran. And he had to go to rehab. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the NHL called him, said, hey, it's been a year. We're gonna have our doctors meet with you in New York or Chicago, wherever it was. He said it was the Westin Hotel. But anyway, he said, we're going to meet with you and talk about reinstating you. And he had had cocaine and alcohol problems. Okay, and he's like, oh, my God, this is okay. I don't want to be late. He said, you know what? I'm gonna get a room. I'm going to go there tonight. It's an hour and a half drive. I'm going to get a room. First thing in the morning, I will be there. I don't want to worry about traffic, anything. Goes there. He's sitting, watch TV, and there's the little bar.
Duh.
And he's like, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have one Jack and Coke and
take
just
the edge
chill.
Off.
Take right. the edge off.
Yeah, okay.
Next thing you know, his buddy's pounding on the door. Where are you? He had a couple of women. They were chopping up cocaine. They were drinking whiskey. And complete. From what he said, so he tells people, you think you can have that one if you've got that problem? No. Just like they were. He said, the doctors are on the floor above you. You're right here to get reinstated what you've worked so hard on.
Yeah.
And he said that one drink put him completely back over the edge. Isn't that amazing?
No, it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's just the power of, it's unbelievable the addiction that some people have. I mean, I hear that. It's just, it's like air to us. You do anything for it. It's
unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's why the people who are in recovery, and that's why Saturday I'm going to spend at Bay Beach with Celebrate Recovery.
That been a year already? I remember you talking about this year went by fast.
It did. That was last year we talked about that. Yeah.
Wow. Great that's event. A cool thing, though.
It is, and it's something worth celebrating.
And support.
Oh, my God. And then families come out there, and I had them on my other show as well, and it's just, it's working. We had a meeting Monday night, and some guy celebrating 1 year, and I think a year ago he was sleeping outside. He's the guy that slept on that slide so the animals
would get him.
A year. And now he's working. He's just, but, boy, he.
That's awesome, though.
But that was tough on him. You should talk to him. He goes, man, I just laid in night. I just, yeah, it was tough.
I got to ask you this, though. So, I mean, I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to tell you this. You know, you said, well, I'd never been in a situation where I'm homeless. I'd never been in a situation where I didn't have a place to sleep. When I had that debacle up in the UP about renting that car and the people had left, they got the tie wrong.
That was about a year ago.
I had no place. To thank God I got a hold of my brother-in-law who's, you know, my sister just died or whatever. But I literally had there was no place to go, and they wouldn't let me stay in the terminal. And I was pushing so hard, they were going to call the sheriff's department on me, which would have been fine because then at least I could have gotten a ride.
That's what some people do it. Remember that guy that?
Because I just went off.
Yeah. You? Really?
From the mind of Mino.
Yeah.
But I really thought that. I thought, well, good. They can give me a ride to Marquette there. I'll sleep with the jail for a night. I don't care.
Yeah.
By the way, tonight I'll be hosting the Respect for Law Enforcement banquet at the Riverside Bar.
I'm going to be there for that.
All right.
Yeah. It just we talk about power of alcohol, drugs, and some people aren't too far away from that. So you gotta be grateful.
But when he said that, he's never worked harder at anything in his life than to get clean.
Oh yeah.
And the doctors were the floor above him or below him, whatever it was. And he was there just for that. And is to get reinstated and make $3 million a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that one Jack and Coke put him completely over the edge again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you have to respect these people that find a way to not cheat.
Well, they really made a commitment to their sponsor that before they drink, they're just going to call them once.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. So, and people would say, you know, he relapsed weeks ahead of time. He drank that night, but he, in his head, he was like, I can't do this.
Really?
But I don't know. I'm not, look, I sit in on some meetings. I'm.
Don't they have that stuff they can give you the word you throw up or something if you drink?
Oh, John.
You get real sick
stuff,
or it doesn't work?
If there was aspirin, no.
Oh, mm-mm. I thought there was.
Sure. Where you get this aversion to alcohol.
Yeah, like pills or something you take, isn't it?
It's pills. Yeah, I guess it is. I don't know. But I don't think if that worked, wouldn't everybody do it?
I don't know. You'd think.
It's like that stuff you sprinkle on your food that makes it smell like, and people don't eat it. Why isn't everybody doing that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about, I don't know enough about this. I know a little bit about it, but you really got to get into this higher power thing and just give it up. Say, look, I cannot control this, period. Ain't a pill out there. There's nothing out there.
Todd, it was funny. This morning, before the show, we're talking. I was like, hey, do you guys like broasted chicken? I'm doing a thing at Van Obel's, right, which is the greatest broasted chicken. It's going to be too much for me, and I got a wedding to go to, another game and whatever. So, yeah. And then we're talking about can't lose weight. And I was like, I don't want the roasted chicken.
I don't, man. I got to get back on the horse.
So it's like I was your sponsor right there. You made the decision. You didn't want the roasted chicken.
Yeah, I don't.
Today is Be Quiet Day. All right. Make Your Bed Day, which I still think is a wonderful book.
You should do that every day.
Make Your Bed is a wonderful book about that Navy SEAL where it's like give yourself an accomplishment to start the day.
A sense of accomplishment.
How motivated they'll make you.
And you're not going to get back in it.
Yeah. And I still love, he talks about the first day when they were getting in the water at Navy SEAL school. And the first thing they did is show everybody these, and they're like off Catalina Island, showed them all these videos of shark attacks and gruesome. Here's a person that was found half eaten. Here's his torso that we found. And they said, okay, guys, get ready. We're doing a night swim.
Wow.
And they would send them out there after showing them all that stuff. Wow. Just to test how bad do you want this? Isn't that something
to really do that?
But the guy even wrote about that in his book called Make Your Bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that, about overcoming your fears and making your bed to start the day, how that just gives you a sense of accomplishment and what that does for you confidence-wise. Mm-hmm. Great, great book.
Yeah.
Patriot Day is today, of course.
Right.
We know that. Birthdays, Harry Connick Jr. is 57. Christy McNichol is 62. All right. You don't hear much about Harry Connick Jr. anymore. Did he have some issue, Todd?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Now, he's from New Orleans.
Oh, no, I'm
right?
thinking of Michael Bublé. I always get him and Michael Bublé mixed up.
I don't know. I
it was actually Michael Bublé's birthday yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't get him mixed up because I don't know.
Well, you know Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, I do.
Jazz kind of guy.
Yeah. You don't know Michael Bublé?
I'm not sure I do.
Jim.
Maybe I do. I might know. You guys know me in names. Frank? Come on.
Frank.
Frank Hermes?
Okay.
No, thank you. But Harry Connick Jr., when they had that big flood in New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Wiped everything out. I went down there shortly after that. Harry Connick Jr. and part of the rebuilt this whole.
I know.
That was awesome.
He was huge. That
guy was amazing. And he was young. I mean, he was 47.
Yeah.
Like, just 10, well, longer.
Yeah, born and raised in New Orleans, I think.
Yes.
Come on, Jim, you got to know this song.
Breeze drifting on by.
Well, everybody knows.
Everybody knows it. It's too easy.
Oh, do I know this song?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Or I think something happened to his wife or something, Todd. Michael Bublé's. The ladies really liked him a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they still do, but they really liked him. Harry Connick Jr. has acted a little bit, too.
Yeah,
he's
done
some acting.
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, let us know
again,
folks.
He's so talented.
Oh, man. Let us know again, folks, who where you were, what you remember of 9/11 of this day 23 years ago.
I don't want to bounce around, but I'm going to. What they announced the you guys like music a lot more than I mean, I love music, but not the same, not all the music. I don't know it as well as you do. But anyway, what do you think about the announcement for the Super Bowl, February 9th?
Oh, who, I didn't see it.
It's not Usher. Who's the guy who planned?
I have to look it up real quick.
I'm
not all that impressed.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was a big thing yesterday.
I do not know.
Let's see.
He was
Kendrick Lamar.
He was in the Super Bowl, right? He performed in the Super Bowl when they had Snoop Dogg.
I thought he did something before.
No, but he just had a small part. He's the featured guy.
You ever read Phil Mushnick?
No.
Phil Mushnick is a longtime columnist for the New York Post. He's a TV radio critic, whatever. And he says constantly about who they have at the Super Bowl, he would like Roger Goodell at his season-ending press conference to read the lyrics of some of those people's songs.
Yeah, of course.
Will you right? do that? You're talking about how excited you are to have so-and-so.
Yeah.
Do this on national TV. Read the lyrics to their songs.
But I was surprised at who selects that. I mean, Apple's on there. They must be a huge advertiser, right, to weigh in on that?
You think anybody would be involved with the NFL if there wasn't huge money going into Goodell's pockets?
Yeah.
Come on. I
just was surprised.
Oh, Mary says Michael Bublé is a judge on The Voice this season.
That's right, he is.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I haven't seen that show in years. Is that the same one that Simon Cowell used to do?
No. He was on, like, X Factor or...
No, he was on something else.
He was on American Idol.
American Idol to begin
with, but...
That's right. Man, remember how popular
that
was?
I like this guy. I like this song.
Holy cow.
I knew you would like
this. I love this.
All right. All right. Once again, we got Izzy Deutsch coming up. What do you hear his story? Benedetta Malcor. Big things talking about interest rates now.
Finally.
Big things. Pat Haney. Terry Barr. Back after this.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to try out a little personal finance quiz. Are you ready? Here we go. Which phrase best completes this sentence? I can find out where I'm spending too much money by A, buying less expensive things, B, setting a financial goal, or C, tracking what you buy. If you guess C, you are 100% correct. The best way to figure out where you're spending money that you don't have to is by tracking your spending. Just take a look at your bank account and your credit card statements today. See what you notice. Anything pop out at you? Tracking like that helps you make more informed choices about your goals and your spending. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
What do you got playing there, Todd?
Michael Bublé.
Yeah, that's... The singing's good. The music's awesome.
Well, he's like old school entertainer.
Yeah.
That smooth voice. Like yes. Frank Sinatra.
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
Playing Vegas. So, playing the Pink Flamingo in Vegas this week.
So this morning we got that party coming up, right? To celebrate the Northlands and 100 year anniversary. So I was.
What a year 1924 was.
How about that?
Is that something, three of the major things that same year you mentioned yesterday? Right. I had no idea.
Yeah, here in Green Bay, but I was looking up some of the music. I mean, that's going to be fun. And it's just because it was the Roaring Twenties. I mean,
absolutely.
Things were good. We got, you know, the aviation was taken off. Automobiles were taken off. It was just, you know.
Packers were stars of the NFL. I mean.
They were technology in terms of TVs, radios was going. And it was just a great time to, you know.
And sports got really huge. Because they were showing things at one of the main reasons I read this, they were showing film clips. What's it at the movies when they used to have the little shorts
newsreels.
Newsreels. Like, that's the term I was looking for. Newsreels. So they would show like a Jack Dempsey, the Menasha Mahler takes on someone, and they were seeing this for the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
And Babe Ruth.
How cool is that?
So that really generated, and Red Grange was huge, and you may not know these things, but they were like legendary in that time period because the news films, or what'd you call them?
Newsreels.
Newsreels, brought them to the masses before they were reading about
them.
That's
just it. That's what happened.
Holy cow, and that exploded it.
And that's where...
racing. Barney Oldfield was his name. Became like this national hero. And Eddie Rickenbauer, who was a great pilot, World War One, same thing. Became national heroes because those newsreels with racing exploded.
Of course, everybody knows Eddie Rickenbauer.
Right.
Never heard of him. Wow.
Eddie Rickenbauer. I love the voice guys back then. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know. I was just kidding.
Eddie Rickenbauer.
Okay.
So let me just tell you a quick story. World War One ace.
Yeah.
Then became a huge auto racer. Then even when he was old, he went back over to the South Pacific to help train pilots and got shot down. And spent like a month on an island by himself.
Now there's a man.
Wow.
There's a guy.
That's a guy.
We're sitting here going, I'll have a charcuterie board.
Right,
this guy's out there.
Wait, those pickles are kind of hot on the charcuterie board.
Spicy, aren't they?
I wish you would have warned us. Had I known that,
we were a little wimpy.
We were a little wimpy.
But back to this.
How's your day, Eddie? Pretty good. I got shot down by the Japanese. Spent a month eating lizards on an island. Then I swam 6 miles through shark-infested water. Got a ride by a freighter. How about you? I had this hottest pickle on a charcuterie board.
Have you had that?
I left a little something in my throat. I'm not feeling good. Yeah. And my sinuses. Yeah. These allergies.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started, Eddie. Don't get me started. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Something's going on in the environment.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyway, Ed, so we'll get back to the 20s and then we can move on. But I was, Donna Orr got her like outfit and she from a, you know, the dress, the white gloves and the pearls and all that, but a cigarette holder.
I love it.
And she, I took a picture last night and sent it to a friend.
Love
of mine.
It.
It was just, I was like, okay, that looks cool.
Love so
I
got it.
Anyway, the 20s were great. That was 100 years ago, but.
We had a text from a listener. You were talking about the guy that was on the island. And Brian says, what linens did he have on the island?
You're right. It's a different day.
I cannot get these things clean. Got this text. I was sitting on the floor in my living room watching Katie Couric with my six-month-old son in my lap. I honestly thought it was just an accident, and I was getting angry that they immediately started bringing up terror attack. Then I saw the second one, and I just started to cry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you weren't alone.
How many military members do we have out there that signed up because of that?
Yeah, right.
Because of 9/11. How many? I mean, I know of a bunch, but I'd love to hear from you.
If you were that age, would you have? I would have considered it, man. If my brother would have jumped in, I'd jumped in. You know what I mean? Like, that was, we were mad.
See, I come from that era where the biggest thing in the world a lot of people did was to try to stay out of the military.
The Vietnam stuff.
Because of the Vietnam stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, and God bless, I got a lot of friends that, you know, joined the Marines, joined the Army. They wanted to get in. God bless them, no question. But overall, people wanted to either get a good job or go to college and just live the good life. You know what I mean? Because things had kind of turned around for America. It's like, you know, everything's going to be good here for a while. And so you just wanted part of that American dream when I was that age.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you're right. But what I was thinking was people who, though, were 18, 9/11 didn't have that.
No, exactly.
I'm saying, if we were that age and didn't know what we know, would we have joined?
I don't know. That's a good question. That is a really good question.
I think if your friends would have, you would have.
I think that for one thing, I knew I had to work in the mines to go to college. Okay. So you had to have that, you know, wasn't just working at my brother's gas station anymore. Now I'm going to, you know, whatever. And with the types of things the Army or the military, I shouldn't just say the Army, what they have to pay for schooling these days,
totally.
That would have been a big part of, oh, well, you know what? I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody knew we were going to go to war for 20 years either.
No.
You know, we thought it was going to be kind of a bada bing, bada bang,
mm-hmm.
and it was going to be over. And that didn't happen.
And, you know, and that thing that came up last night on the debate, you know, is that whole Afghanistan getting out of there.
Yeah, I know.
And she was in the room and, you know, but then she turned that back and said, well, you picked the date.
Yeah, I know. And that is true.
That is true. But he said, I didn't pick the plan, or he didn't say that, but anyway, are we glad it's over? Yeah. Could have it ended better? Oh my God. So much better. And it's kind of back the way it was, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody feeling bad about that, but.
No, but I got to say this too, as far as with that thing, it was so chaotic and I forget who it was told me that if somebody is willing to give up their life to kill somebody, you can't stop them. You basically, unless you check every person with a metal detector and make them do whatever, 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 whatever. But when you have mass chaos like that, one person with that vest underneath his robe.
Yeah.
But that's it.
9/11 did take away a little of our freedom for flying.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I flew a lot and I remember the first, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I know. It was, when you look back on it, boy, were we an open country for.
Oh my gosh.
Weren't we? When you think about it now, were we ever an open country?
Yep. We were.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well.
Things are getting better.
Yes, indeed. Big day today.
Jim.
I know, right? Didn't that sound believable?
No, but what was the other thing?
Back to the 20s that we're
going to 1924. There was three of them.
Well, there was WBAY.
Oh, that was the third one.
The Carlton and obviously the Northland were all
built. That's unbelievable.
But think about
how
cool that was in 24 to say, you know, this is awesome.
And three cool buildings. I mean, not just, you know, a little 7-Eleven.
The city of Green Bay is really happening. That was it. And now let's go to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
We're going back.
Eddie Rickenbach making a special appearance at the Green Bay Packers game.
I don't care what she said. We're going back.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
Not without a star.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk about the phenomenon of post-summer gelato. And I welcome the band Cat and the Hurricane, who will tell us all about their Midwestern tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250.